You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in the very beautiful sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and worldwide on the web.
That's right, all over the World Wide Web. 1510
I like to say web, Spider-Man.
I know. Exactly. Well, I saw Batman this weekend.
Ooh.
Sort of. Sort of. Yeah. I'll tell you that story later. Yeah. Anyway, 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices right here live from Cocoa, Florida. Or right after the show, we post everything on all of our social medias, which is under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, on our website, which is sitamediainc.com. And what a great Independence Day weekend. We had a fantastic weekend this past weekend. All over the Space Coast, there were parties and events and great things, and I saw you had family stuff going on too, see?
Well, you know what? There's pros and cons, there's negativity and positivity, but in my humble opinion, we do live in the greatest nation on earth.
Totally.
And I am grateful to God that my grandchildren are here, my family's here, and I have found my life with purpose, and I think it's to go forward, not backward. So whatever we do it for the good of mankind and humanity, and that's how it is. And 4th of July to me means you're celebrating this great nation, but you're also giving back, you know, however you can. So anyways, I don't want to take too much time away from our guests. We have such a great lineup today. We've got the first segment is with Dr. Tyler Sexton, and he is going to be talking with us this morning from the Hyperbaric Wound Center in Melbourne.
Yes, the Brevard Regional Hyperbaric
Center. That's right. And our second segment, we have a wonderful friend of ours, Jill Carlisle, is here, and she's going to be talking the second segment about being an author, a coach, a writer, and all that good stuff. But for listeners who are tuning in for the first time to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, on Mondays for the past 15 years, the WWBC Studios has become part of our life. We sit here for an hour, and we talk about things that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida, the state of Florida, and yes, the United States and the world. We have been blessed to have people call in from India, the Philippines, Canada, you name it, Ireland. Ellen sometimes has to rig off phones for some of these folks to call in, but we get it done. And we talk about what we call kitchen table topics. We talk about things like financial literacy, writing a book, opening a business. Maybe somebody want to run for office, someone already ran for office. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent. You want to talk about doing good things for the United States. We'll give you a platform, but freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And so we have to play nice. We also have people that advocate for clean air and water and sunshine and a good environment. And at the end of it all, we all share an experience with each other that we do want to leave a better planet behind for our grandchildren and the people that live in God's magnificent planet. And so I call it my vacation on Earth. And this journey is really good today. And we're going to open a show with Dr. Tyler Sexton. And he's going to tell us a little bit about himself and what made him move to Brevard County, Florida. Thank you and welcome to our show, Doctor.
Sure. Thank you for having me. So I am Dr. Tyler Sexton. It's a profound honor and privilege to be here. But my story is a very unique one. I was an ex-28-weeker, was told I'd never walk, talk, or even be a doctor, actually. They told my parents they'd keep my body warm so they could hold me for the first last time before they buried me. And that has, you know, kind of spurned the entire desire of my entire life. By the time I was 18 months old, I still couldn't sit up. I still couldn't walk. And I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. I've had 18 surgeries. I've had months of hospital care. I've broken almost every bone in my body from falling. And that has given me a perspective to realize that 10% of life is what happens to you and 90% is how you react to it. And I ended up growing up knowing I wanted to be a doctor. That wasn't as well received in the U.S. Back. It's funny, you know, I'm just turned 40. It's hard to believe that all those years ago, because that's not that old, but I faced severe discrimination and ended up going to the Caribbean, where I spent my career and went to medical school there and then did my residency at University of South Alabama in Mobile. But I am certified in pediatrics and also board certified in hyperbaric medicine and wound care with the American Board of Wound Healing. And I serve as the president of the American College of Hyperbaric Medicine. I have done numerous hyperbaric chambers and wound care across the country and the world, from Trinidad and Tobago to Grenada to to India, and so on and so forth. So long and short of it, I'm actually from Florida, born and raised native of the west coast of Florida in Pinellas County area. And what brought us down, my wife and I were married. She's a pediatric intensive care doctor and works at Arnold Palmer. And we moved down because my mother has stage 4 colon cancer. And we felt like there was an opportunity. There was a practice here, the Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Center, that was up for sale. And my partners and I had the privilege of purchasing. And I believe that we want to serve people. And wound care I love, because at this moment, you know, everybody has a wound and they're hurt or they're, it's ugly or it's weeping. But eventually it becomes a scar and it's our testimony. In my entire story, I've learned that my disability gives me credibility. And I tell people that we're all handicapped. Mine the world can see. But somebody's struggling with something that we might not be able to see, and we all wish there was something we could change about ourselves. And wound care for me is a demonstrable way for me to wrap my arm around somebody and say, I know how you feel and mean it. And we offer advance in a variety of ways to heal things that other doctors may say it can't be done. And I know that it can be, and we do some really incredible things.
Well, talk about finding a life with purpose. We are honored and privileged to have you in our studio today, because not only are you a specialist with the wound care at the Hyperbaric Center, Doc, and you're also the medical director, but you were also a pediatrician.
I was, yes.
And so you were a pediatrician for how long?
15 years, and I still see a lot of pediatric patients in our clinic now. Traumatic brain injury, hypoxic-ischemic encephalopathy, cerebral palsy, autism. You know, these things, when done correctly, hyperbaric medicine can impact as well. And finding the right people that use the correct type of equipment. We have a large hyperbaric chamber, an FDA 510K clear. We're the largest one on the East Coast, 12 person. We work with a variety of different individuals. So we can do kids and adults. So literally from 6 months old to 99 years old,
right.
We see
and,
them all.
And you also have lent your expertise in writing articles about hyperbaric medicine as well.
I have. I've had the unique privilege of being published hundreds of times on hyperbaric medicine, on wound care, with the American Board of Wound Healing, the Journal of Wound Care. To be a key opinion leader all of these years. If you ever watched the show House, remember the old TV show House,
yes.
The doctor? I always wanted to say I wanted to be the house of hyperbarics, but without the attitude and the drug use. I don't do any drugs. But I wanted to know as much as I possibly could and be able to be an asset. And I have been able to turn my passion into my career, found freedom in that. And I have 16 board-approved courses in wound care, hyperbaric medicine, and have contributed to many articles or books across the country in hyperbarics.
So what's the basis of hyperbarics? I mean, some of our listeners might not know what hyperbarics is or what the process or procedures are.
Yeah,
sure.
That's my question too.
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And that's really a good one for me, because there's a lot of bastardization in this industry. That's all I can say, right? The soft shells and the hard shells. And the key is that there's a lot of chambers that say they're hyperbarics and they're not, right? So hyperbaric medicine is dealing with a hard shell chamber, whether it be a single person or multiple people, multi-place. And you sit in that chamber and we use pressure, and it's like simulating diving, and we put you under pressure and you breathe oxygen, and oxygen is breathed into the lungs, and that oxygen through the pressure is forced into your tissues and could do a variety of different things, like heal the wounds, it can kill bacteria, it can grow new blood vessels, it can grow new nerves, it can reverse inflammation. It's the hyperbaric oxygen therapy is the best anti-inflammatory known to man, even over any steroids. It can help reverse certain types of cancer problems, fibrosis or skin arrangements. It helps with surgical recovery and a variety of different infections.
And so infections,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so you sit in a chamber, breathe, you can watch TV or watch a movie or you can read, and it can fight a variety of infections. Bone infections, if you have diabetes and you have a type of foot wound that's been there for more than 30 days, come and see us, because most doctors will say, got to cut it off, nothing we can do. And I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, I tell my patients, I look them in the eye and say, if I'm wrong, you lose your
leg. At least give you a chance.
Right. But if I'm right, give me a chance and you walk out of here. And it's a privilege.
So, Doc, you know, a lot of people don't understand the use of oxygen therapy in hyperbaric treatments. Can you tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about why we need oxygen?
Absolutely.
People, you know, you wake up every day and we're like, oh, I can breathe. I'm alive. Great. But there's more to life, and especially with wound healing and hyperbaric treatments and oxygen.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And oxygen is that critical element that we all need, right? Obviously, you said that, Sita, and that's exactly right. But when you use oxygen on a higher level, we're using it as a drug, one of the safest drugs you can use, and it's going to help you by, as I said, decreasing inflammation. It's going to promote, and it can, hyperbaric oxygen therapy can actually reverse aging. Now, I don't want to go totally left wing here,
but
there is a lot of evidence from reversal of aging, making you feel better, making you have more energy. And then the infection piece, it can help regulate some issues in diabetes, help regulate blood sugars, and it kills infections because when it gets into the tissues, it can do a variety of different things. And it can actually heal things that were otherwise dead and keep things alive that wouldn't stay alive in certain areas. And that's what it's been all about. And our center,
it penetrates the tissues.
It does. It penetrates the tissues through a physics law, right? We won't get into all that stuff. But basically, it penetrates the tissues and sits there, and you don't even need your blood supply. It goes into the tissues and sits there and kills or heals where otherwise it couldn't heal.
So, crazy question, but who figured this out 100 years ago or whatever,
so
how many years ago?
That, but Cunningham was the father of hyperbaric medicine, and then a guy named Robert Boyle in the 1600s realized how pressure can be used for healing. So it's been around for a long time, but it's been really unified over the last probably, 60 years, I would say. Yeah. But Dr. Cunningham was the father of hyperbaric medicine, and then Dr. Eric Kinwall, who has passed, who is the founder of the American College of Hyperbaric Medicine, was really that guy that really, there's other people that would say they've done it. There's a lot of great pioneers in this industry, don't get me wrong, but those are the guys that would get the initial credit, like you asked. Yeah,
God bless them.
Right.
God bless them.
True. Now, there has to be approved uses for hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So tell our listeners a little bit about what are the approved uses for it.
Sure. So there are about 15 to 17 approved indications based on your insurance, but the big ones are chronic osteomyelitis or chronic bone infection, types of thermal burns, carbon monoxide poisoning, diabetic foot ulcers. If you have an arterial wound or you need to have, say you don't have blood supply going to your tissues and you have a problem wound that's been there for a while, you have what's called ischemia, which means lack of oxygen to the tissues and they're turning black or it's very tingly, you can reverse that. It can also help with certain fungal infections. It can help with compromised grafts and flaps. It also can help with cancer, radiation. So if you've had radiation injury and you have a head and neck radiation, or if you have in your teeth called osteoradionecrosis, where your bone is destroyed because of the radiation injury, hyperbaric medicine can reverse those tissues. Also decompression sickness, different types of gas poisonings, for example. Those are just to name a few.
I think somebody told me they had used it once for gas gangrene as well.
That's correct. Clostridium infection, gas gangrene can completely kill that bacteria, so you don't need an infection. It can help synergize with the antibiotics. What I tell people all the time, hyperbarics is an important adjunct. At our clinic, we're a full-service wound care clinic that does types of debridement machines that don't hurt, painless ultrasonic debridements, argon plasma therapy. We're a full-service therapy center that adds hyperbaric medicine that can promote healing that otherwise wouldn't be available.
Right. And, oftentimes you hear people who had a skin graft. And, of course, education is the key to everything in life, right?
Right.
But they don't know that for a skin graft to heal properly, they can also have the hyperbaric treatment for that as well.
That's exactly right. The skin graft is laid on there, as you said, Sita, and it needs oxygen to survive. And when you're a diabetic, or if you've already had a lot of issues like radiation, or if you just have poor circulation, that graft will die. If you put them in hyperbaric oxygen therapy, that graft will live and it will save money. And so your surgeon will be proud of what he's done, and you won't have to go through another painful surgery and you'll heal faster. So people need to realize that grafts and flaps and any types of surgery like that can be dramatically impacted. And also, if you have a total knee or a hip, if you go into hyperbaric medicine, you'll have better range of motion. You won't hurt as much. Your arthritis is better. Variety of different things.
So why I want to know why we don't have more mainstream physicians referring their patients to this? Because if you ask me, for the amount of money we spent on dressings and specialized beds and physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech, I mean, they're all needed. But the oxygen is what is lacking for a lot of these people and their wounds. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. It's one of the things I struggle with all the time. I meet these doctors, and that's where I think some of that, you know, the fake hyperbaric chambers, the soft shells and these things have kind of gotten in the way. And so good doctors that are trying to use evidence have seen kind of the fallacy of our industry. That's why I'm so excited at Brevard. If you ever get to Google us or look at our photo, it's a large, it looks like a big submarine, holds 12 people. But it's something you've never seen before. And when done correctly, these doctors, they don't learn about it much in medical school, right? It's a definitive subspecialty that I've chosen to do, but it's about two lines. And a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, I might get in trouble, but because I'm a doctor, I'm going to say that most doctors are prideful. Some aren't, don't get me wrong. I've got great partners, incredible partners that help us grow. We want to continue to grow. But some surgeons and whether it be surgeons, podiatrists, whoever it is, general medicine, you know, they just say, oh, it doesn't work, but they just don't know. Listen, I say it like this. I know the anatomy of the heart, right? But I'm not a cardiovascular surgeon. If I do surgery on you, you are going to die, right? I cannot save you, even though I know the anatomy. I think it's just we need to be very humble and say, know what we don't know. And sending us to a wound care specialist in hyperbaric medicine, let me be a part of your care. Because here I tell people, I'm not trying to take your patient. I want them to get better. And we just want to heal that wound and get them off improve their lives.
Ali,
right?
Did you want to jump in here? I see you.
Oh, no, I was just saying that being strong about it.
Well, you had a wound and you remember.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I've had two lumbar back surgeries and it affects me walking today. But I don't know much about it. Was emergency. The doctor said like six words to me and that was it through the whole thing.
You would have loved to have somebody like
Dr. Sexton. Somebody to talk to me about what the hell is going on.
But it really brings it back to well care, right? We always talk about the health care business. I don't know that it's been health care. And well care is certainly where in the chamber, you know, not to play on words of healthcare that I would want to be in, because I'm all about trying to do things naturally. And, you know, when it's oxygen, I mean, you're not going to get any side effects from that, right?
Right. Well, Doc, would you say then that oxygen is kind of like the forgotten ingredient in all of this?
Oh, it absolutely is. I think people don't realize the power that it has. And like I said, this is insurance approved, and there's some off-label incredible things we can do from traumatic brain injury, concussions and Crohn's disease. I mean, I could go on and on and on. We just don't have the time. But, I mean, there's over... In Japan, in India, so forth, there's over 36 approved indications for hyperbaric medicine. We're here in the U.S., it's only 17. So this does work, but doing it in a safe, effective, physician-led environment is so critical. And that's what I want to let people realize, that we're here to help.
So how long does it usually take in the chamber? 90 minutes?
It does. 90 minutes. So about 2 hours by the time you go down and get changed and all that stuff. So 2 hours, once a day, 5 days a week for about 20 to 40 sessions. So it is a time constraint. But if you do 1 month, I tell people, you give me 1 month of your life, and you will have a 95% chance of walking out of here with your leg. And other doctors say, you might not have one. Is it not worth the chance? And in my own life, having cerebral palsy, being told that you can't do this and you can't do that.
You're a walking advertisement.
I try to tell people there's hope.
When people see you, they see hope, right? Yes. It's like restore. That you can restore hope and give hope. But for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Tyler Sexton. He is the medical director of the Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Wound Center. And Doc, what I like about you is you use your own experience to help your patients. And when people walk into the room, there's some comfort in that as well. Now, are there any side effects to hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
That's a great question. The side effects of hyperbaric therapy is extremely low. There almost are none. The biggest one is actually ear bearer trauma or pain in the ears. So like when you're flying on a plane and you have to clear your ears, if you can't do that, then we put little tubes in. But we have a lot of other things that we can do that can teach you how to plug your nose and clear your ears, for example. That's about the only side effect. It does not cause seizures. If you have seizures, it may make you have seizures a little bit quicker, but we can help you with that if you're on your seizure medication. And then if you're a diabetic, it lowers your blood sugar a little bit. It actually helps you with blood sugar control. So we maybe give you a snack or orange juice, something like that in the chamber. So overall, the only real side effect of hyperbaric oxygen therapy is middle ear barotrauma or pain in the ears. Everything else is extremely safe. There are a few things here and there. That's why you want to talk to me. But overall, no, that's your biggest one. Hyperbaric medicine is one of the safest things you can do. And also, if you have an unhealthy heart, extremely unhealthy heart. I'm talking about people with diabetes and things that all have unhealthy hearts, right, most of the time. And even us could be healthier, lose a couple pounds. All in all, it's extremely safe, and it has no effects except on those ears.
Right. And you're also a provider for courses that are approved for the National Board of Diving and Hyperbaric Technologies.
I am.
And I don't know how we got so lucky in Brevard, but he listened to this, my dear listeners. Dr. Sexton is also the president of the American College of Hyperbaric Medicine. We are really honored to have you on our show today.
Doctor. Well,
so talk to us a little bit about the scuba diving part, because you are a Caribbean fella.
I know a lot
of stuff about them Boca Reefs and things.
Yes. Well, I do. I personally love scuba diving. It's where I found my freedom because my cerebral palsy doesn't define me. So in the water, I'm just as fast as anybody else. But I took my passion into my career, and I've treated numerous dive accidents. So we do a lot of scuba diving. We do a lot of training. Like you said, I'm a national educator for the American College of Hyperbaric Medicine and also the national board in my past as well. But we teach these 16 board-approved courses in wound care and diving and hyperbaric technology. So I'm one of the very few individuals that can teach people on how to become a hyperbaric technologist, how to do wound care for them effectively, and how to use a hyperbaric chamber effectively. And so we're really, really excited. And I also do a lot of consulting with certain military. Like right now, we have the Omani military at our facility, the Royal Navy, learning how to do hyperbaric medicine at our facility here in Brevard County, all the way from Oman. And I work with the Indian Royal Navy. I work with Trinidad. I work with Grenada. I was the very first person to ever put a chamber on Grenada, for example. So my company, True Hyperbarics, also does that. We provide hyperbaric chambers to people that need it as well. So it's pretty exciting. So I do the, I believe in three things, that medical technology, along with medical education, will give you the best clinical outcomes. And our company is about doing all three of those things under my leadership.
Wow. And, you know, like, what should someone consider before they decide to go with a hyperbaric oxygen therapy? I'm sure there's certain considerations.
There are. The biggest thing I would say is making sure it's done by true medical professionals, right? I always say you're always an expert until you tell somebody something they don't want to hear. So I don't want to be polarizing, but I'm also bold enough to say not every hyperbaric chamber is built the same. So understanding, are they FDA approved? Are they a hard shell? These soft shell units aren't always made the same. Now, there are some places that say it's hyperbarics or it's the same thing. It's just not. So the important thing is understanding what kind of chamber you're using, what kind of medical oversight that they have, and other services that they provide. You want to go to a facility that has the entire process. And that's what we have here at Brevard. It's an entire system, right? We look at your from head to toe, from evaluating your brain if you need it to your toes if you need it, right? And that's a big thing. But the big thing is what equipment and what training do they have behind it? Because going to a Medi Spa for a hyperbaric chamber, and there's plenty of those out there, it's not the same. And if you're expecting the same miraculous results that can be provided in hyperbaric medicine, you're not going to get it in a place like that. I don't, you know, that's just the facts.
Right. And, you know, oftentimes people mistake the topical oxygen therapy.
Yes.
For treatment for wounds. And it's, you know, we saw a lot of physicians that in their offices as well have been touting that and using that as a technique, right?
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit why it's not, I mean, the uses of the topical oxygen versus the hyperbaric.
So see, that's a fantastic comment and question, because topical oxygen will kill some of the bacteria locally, but it does not penetrate into tissues. You must have your body under pressure, breathing the oxygen into the tissues, and that's what gives the healing. So topical oxygen therapy, although it does have some medical benefit, it is not hyperbaric oxygen therapy, where they think they could just put your foot or your arm inside of a topical oxygen tube or a little canister, and it does the same thing. It does not. You must be inside the chamber, and it needs to be breathed into your lungs or your pulmonary system and under pressure, and that gives you what hyperbaric oxygen therapy is. Great comment.
Right. And the thing is, for our listeners who are tuning in, this oxygen therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, it's been around in the United States for how long? Over 150 years?
Over 150 years, officially, yes.
I'm amazed that we don't hear more about it.
Like, I'm texting everybody right now. I'm on my phone right now,
yes,
texting my nephews, got cerebral palsy, two of my other friends that have MS.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I'm texting everyone who's been suffering lately, because it seems like, once again, like you said, Sita, there's just not enough information out there about it. And here we are on Viewpoint with Sita and friends telling the community all about it.
Well, and here's the thing. Nowadays, you have 90 minutes in the chamber,
yep,
the oxygenated chamber, where you're going to get this nice oxygen penetrating all them tissues and trying to rejuvenate that area,
right,
and heal that wound. Can someone bring their phone in with them? Because, you know, with social media these days, everybody, they're bored to death. Now, if I could get my phone and sit in there just a break away from everybody, I'll come in there.
So now, great comment. Now, you can't bring your phone, but we have iPads that are in pressure, located areas. We're also, I will get to announce that not just in Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Center in Melbourne, but we're actually expanding to Vieira as well. off of Lynx Highway. So we'll provide that information too. So we have actually in these chambers, you can read books, you can watch TV, you can use an iPad that then you can link up to your emails and things like that. So you can't just bring anything in there. There's a protocol about what's safe and what's not allowed, but we do allow you to get in touch with technology and so you're not bored.
Oh, you can bring a book?
Absolutely, a book. Right. Brain teasers and different coloring things. I mean, a variety of things for kids and adults. So a variety of things. And you can watch a movie, like an entire cinematic experience, tailored to you just in your seat. So you can watch, if somebody's watching a romantic movie and I want to watch my Rambo, I can do that. And so, you know, and so you're not bothering each person. So it's really neat.
Right. And will the patients feel any pain during the treatment?
Great comment. No, this is a painless procedure, especially if you've managed your ears. Like I said, once we put those ear tubes in, if you need them, and that only occurs in about 5 to 7% of the entire population.
It's like an airplane. That happens when you take off.
Exactly.
Right?
Other than that, no. You sit there and it's all fine.
Right. You have a question?
I do have a question. What about, so I suffer from chronic vertigo.
Sure.
And so for people that do suffer with vertigo, that we do have some, I mean, obviously vertigo is a symptom, not a diagnosis.
Sure.
But how does that work with people, you know, with the inner ear? Is this a trigger for the vertigo? Can it be a trigger for the vertigo?
So great, great question. And sometimes like Meniere's or just generalized vertigo, hyperbaric medicine can actually help some of those things. Middle ear, sensorineural hearing loss is another approved indication I didn't mention yet. But if you're going deaf, if you get referred over, that can be reversed in some instances. The vertigo piece, most of the time we actually can help reduce some vertigo. Sometimes, though, hyperbaric medicine under pressure can exacerbate or make the vertigo a little bit worse, but there are tips and tricks and things we can do to make it better. So it's definitely not a precursor. We also use some anti-nausea medicine, but in your case, it's been existing with vertigo. In a lot of ways, I bet we could actually help your vertigo get better.
Thank you for that. That's very interesting.
And so what we're hearing is that the HBO therapy is extremely safe.
It is extremely safe and very valuable to your healthcare.
Right. And here's the other thing. What about the cost? Because I'm sure insurance will cover some of it. And we need to push more insurance providers to cover HBO therapy. We really do.
Absolutely. So most of these indications that we're talking about, 15 to 17 indications, 100% reimbursed by insurance. Call us and we can go through that with you. I take every insurance, literally from Medicaid to care and anything in between, right? All the private payers and all that thing, all approved by insurance. No out-of-pocket costs or very little out-of-pocket costs with your co-pays, et cetera. And then we do offer, if there's some that you come in, like our people with cerebral palsy, concussions, our veterans with PTSD and traumatic brain injury, I can tell you, see so many stories of how we've saved veterans from suicide, repairing their families, incredible stories and testimonies where we have different nonprofit organizations that help and support, and also some self-pay options. So just give us a call and we can help with that.
Yeah. And I read that the FDA approved the HBO therapy for acute central renal artery occlusion.
That is one. That is correct. That is one because it's a type of severe arterial insufficiency or blocking. They also approved avascular necrosis of the hips or of the feet, for example. So there are a variety, and that's a type of arterial insufficiency where you have lack of blood supply that's about to kill something, right? Hyperbaric medicine can keep that alive. And so any of those, whether it be CRAO, like you said, the retinal occlusion, whether it be avascular necrosis of the hip, the hand, the foot, anything that's about to die because of lack of oxygen can probably be about, I can say with 95% certainty on this show, can be covered by insurance and saved, where other people would say we have to cut it off.
Yeah, because if you have a stomach ulcer or something, you get something that you could digest.
Right.
Right? If you have an issue with a bone, you see a surgeon and you get it fixed.
Right.
But the oxygen is like a it's nutritious.
Exactly.
Right?
It's
almost food for the soul.
Exactly. And every subspecialty or specialty in medicine can be touched by hyperbaric medicine, from oncology, radiation injury, to sports medicine and orthopedics, to surgery, whatever it is, can be touched. And that's what's so neat. Anything from infectious disease can be impacted with hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Yeah. So what can we do on Viewpoint with CETA and friends to help the public and steer them towards your wound care clinic? So give us your website, phone number. And the thing is, you know, one chamber is not enough. We need more of your clinics all over Brevard.
Right. So, well, I'm excited you said it, because that's what we're trying to do. And we want to expand. My goal is to have about 50 centers across this great nation and also in the U.S. I mean, in Florida. Across the U.S., 50 of them. In Florida, to have at least 5 to 6. We're going to have one in Vieira that we're building right now, top of the line, 8-person modular. And then we have our 12-person in Melbourne, and we want to go beyond that. Give us a call at Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Center. That's brhchyperbarics.com at 321-676-3200 is our
clinic. You know, Doc, we're watching where we're, God bless those children and the people in Texas. We're watching what's happening with the floods. But tell us a success story. I mean, we always hear about car accidents around this area, and I know that the treatment is also good for victims of car crashes and things like that. I'm sure you've had a success story of quite a lot of them, but I'm sure there's something that stands out in your mind that you saved someone.
I have. I could give you hundreds, but I'll give you just one. I have so many patients, children and adults, but there was a very special one that happened a couple years ago got in a car accident, had a severe concussion, wasn't able to speak, couldn't walk. By the time he was discharged, he was in a wheelchair. He did some physical therapy, right? And he was speaking one word. So miraculous still, you know, didn't pass away, but the parents knew he was an able-bodied child, you know, neurotypical. He did 40 treatments with us, and he spoke regular words for the first time and was able to walk. And that's no exaggeration. I'm not exacerbating that for the TV or for radio. That's a true story. I will tell you that you have people that have no language that can learn, that can speak 30 words, or no language to 5 words. I can't tell you, guarantee that you're going to see miracles all the way, but I can tell you your quality of life is going to improve, and small miracles and every day we live. Isn't that enough? As a person with cerebral palsy, if I can show somebody, instead of falling 10 times a day, I can make you fall 5 times a day. And only knowing one word, you can know 20 words. To say I love you to a mother for the first time after he was hurt. Yeah. That happened, and I have numerous stories with autisms that couldn't speak that say, I love you for the first time, and that's enough. And so we're changing lives all with the use of hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Right, and also for our listeners who are tuning in, I know you all also take care of patients who had breast cancer.
Yes.
And they had bilateral mastectomies, and they have a wound
there. Yes.
Or you do that, and you also help a lot of diabetic patients.
We do. We do any sort of radiation injury, any sort of cancer patients of any kind, of the head, the neck, the breast, cystitis, bladder, right? If you're peeing blood, if you had radiation of the prostate.
Really? Cystitis?
Yes, it's approved.
So you can get people
insurance.
Off of these antibiotics, which yes. We know our nation is hooked on antibiotics. It's
one of the best indications. I have at least 40% of my patients do that. Call us. If you have radiation, if you have cystitis, we can fix it. Your life will be changed. And it's permanent. This isn't just a pill. This is, you do 40 treatments and it's permanent change and your life is changed.
Yeah.
So what's the waiting list? Because it seems like there should be a really super long waiting list.
Well, we got to get people there.
Well, yeah. We do, but we have 5 dives a day. We dive about 40 to 60 patients a day. We will find a spot for you. So if you call today, we can get you in within 24 hours, as long as your insurance approved. We guarantee a 72-hour turnaround time with calling us, getting in, and seeing us. And you can be diving within that day to a week.
Diving, I like it, for a person who can't swim. Grew up in the Caribbean, right. Can't go in the deep end of the pool, right? But one more question before we go, because I know segment is ending. Diabetes.
Yes.
That's near and dear to my heart, because I used to give out so many insulin shots.
Yes.
And it's so expensive.
Yes.
The pens and, you know, the AccuChecks and all that. Talk to our listeners, Doc, a little bit about diabetes and why it's so important that if you're diabetic and you have a little on your skin, be careful. Because that can grow and become bigger, and you can necrotic and all this stuff.
CD, you've stole my heart. I know we've become fast friends just from your past, but this is, I mean, it's the truth. What you just said is my passion as well. Diabetes and the neuropathy that goes along with it, one wound can turn into a large wound. And the sooner you get to us, we can help you heal those wounds. The sugar kills the nerves, right? So they can't feel anything. So they have what's called an insensate foot. So any injury is there. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and gets infected. And that's where you get your amputation. If you start early, get you into a good wound care center like ours at Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Center, and then get into hyperbaric medicine, we can save those wounds 82 to 87% of the time with good quality oversight and follow through. And that's a huge, huge improvement over the average.
Well, you're helping people's lives. You're saving their lives. And they spend more time with their families.
And you know the adage of save a life, save a limb. Do you know that if you get an amputation, you have a 5 times increased mortality over cancers? When somebody gets an amputation with diabetes, they have a 5 to 10 times more likelihood of dying over cancer. That's how severe it is and how hard it is to lose a limb.
Well, you get depressed. Right?
Exactly.
And one more thing, Danny, and I know we're going over this. We might have to hold some of the commercials here. But the thing is, you're also doing so much with your ministry. If you could just plug your ministry into, because, you know, it's not always you find a human being that is doing so much for humanity.
Well, that means a lot. I've always told people I'd rather walk with a limp in Christ than with a strut in the world. And I've written 2 books. One's called No Such Thing as Can't. And one is called God Bless His Little Legs. It was published by Tinsdale. I work with Focus on the Family. I mentor children with special needs. Just TylerSexton.com is my website. I speak to different churches, groups, all those different things. And so it's just been a privilege to be able to use my own personal testimony to say, I know how I feel and mean it. So I combine my personal testimony with my medical expertise now to provide, I'm not the great physician. I'll meet him when I die, but I am a very good one. And if you provide these things, you put these things together, we can provide dramatic healing to your life.
It's beautiful.
And give us your 30-second spiel for the one person who's sitting at home with a tiny little wound on their toe, and they're like, you know what? I'm not going to go until talk to that person.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to tell you that I know that you go to a lot of people and you say, this can't be done. A doctor says, oh, it's not a big deal. Or they say, don't worry about it. Or I can't fix it. We're going to cut it off. I know you might feel hopeless. I know you feel there's no control. Come and give me a chance. Let us show you what the Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Center can do. Let us show you the technology that we can do. And not only that, I will show you dramatic technology that will impact your life and heal these wounds, but I will also show you a family-centered environment. Our staff love you. We care for you. When you come here, you're family. From the moment you walk in our door to see our receptionist, Marco, to the moment you see our MAs, Krishna, Kylie, Amanda, these individuals.
And Danny. Don't forget Danny.
Yes, my service dog, Danny. Catherine, our regional director, our manager, Nicole, all of these people. And all of our staff in the back, I mean, our clinical staff and our hyperbaric chamber staff, you know, they care about you. And you will experience that. This is not like any other doctor's office. You're with us for 40 days, 60 days, and we're going to show you and we're going to treat you like family.
People need to get off their couch, Ellen, and go.
Yes. Well, I think
Uber and all these things, you don't have an excuse.
We say all the time that we hope that our radio show changes lives, and I think today we probably changed a few lives, I hope. Thank you so much, Dr. Tyler Sexton, for being here with us. We're going to listen to maybe one or two of our sponsors, so sorry to all the other sponsors that are going to miss out today, but this is really important. We love you. We'll be right back. Okay.
Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned
sorry to every
dealer. Featuring the best, the most
located in
brand.
Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads.
John Coff Financial Group
is a certified public accounting and a registered.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Man, Danny follows directions so well. We held all the commercials today. That's okay. Because, you know, when you're doing good things, you know, you get that inner voice. And I think it's divine intervention at this point. We had a great man in our studio. Dr. Sexton was so wonderful. So our second segment is with our friend Jill Carlisle. And we've got Ellen for our listeners who are tuning in. Ellen is my co-host. She's been with us on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends for 15 years. We also have Allie, which I didn't mention in the first segment. Allie is here always with us. She's a friend of Ellen's and mine. Danny runs our board. And, you know, it takes a lot to put on our shows every Monday. I like to say that our show is fun. It's unscripted. It's very educational. And we give out really good information to our listeners. Whatever you're trying to do, we give you a platform on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends. And, of course, our second segment is with Jill Carlisle. Jill is a writer. She's a publisher. She's an educator, and she does so much stuff right here in Melbourne, Florida. And you know what I like about her? She said she was a high school dropout. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's so many people here in Brevard and around the world that feels hopeless when they didn't get to finish high school. And here you've accomplished so much after raising your families. So talk to us a little bit.
Thanks, Sita, and thank you so much for having me. You know, hopeless is a word that I felt for many, many years. I come from a very, just a dysfunctional childhood, a lot of alcoholism in my family. And I quit high school at 16 years old. And I had a talent, and that was I was a singer and a dancer. And I went and auditioned for Busch Gardens and got a job at Busch Gardens. And that was sort of my entryway into the world of performing. And the only reason I bring that up is because that was kind of that I was like, okay, well, I've got this talent. I don't need to go get my GED. I don't need to go back to high school. My mother was always begging me to do that. And then I went on pretty quickly to get married and have children. And as I was raising my children, I said, you know, I really want to get my high school diploma. I want to go back to school. I want to go to college. And I said, I don't have time right now, but when my last daughter graduates from high school, which was 2013, I'm going to go and get my GED, and then I'm just going to try college. I'll just try college. So I did, and I got my GED at 42, and I enrolled at Eastern Florida State College, which was BCC at the time, Brevard Community College, and I started to see, wow, I actually can do this, right?
And what a wonderful feeling that is when you say, I think I can. I know I can.
I thought I was just going to, you know, skim through with C's, and I started making straight A's and getting on the president's list. And then I started to say, there's hope. And it just took that one decision to go get my GED. And it started there. And I didn't have to feel shame anymore because I grew up in the center of shame. I was shamed because I didn't get my high school diploma. I was shamed because I never went to college. And so I did, went to EFS, well, EFSC
yeah, I know.
Now.
I mixed that up too. Yeah.
And then I got accepted into University of Central Florida, and I got into the College of Arts and Humanity. I got my BA in English literature with a concentration in pedagogical writing and rhetoric because I knew that I wanted to teach. And then I applied for my master's degree and was accepted to the University of Miami, which was very, very important to me. They didn't have the program that I wanted, so I went for, it was communication, so I went for a month or for a semester and then ended up back in a double master's degree at Southern New Hampshire University.
Well, you're giving a lot of people hope.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I Southern New Hampshire University, I got a double master's in English and nonfiction creative writing, wrote a memoir called Finding 50, and then just graduated with my Master of Fine Arts in creative fiction. Right. And the one thing that nobody can take away from me or from any of us is our education.
That's right. That's what, you know, the Indian folks, when you're in the womb, they teach you that.
Right.
Before you even come out, it's expected lawyer, doctor, engineer,
that's
business.
Right. Pick one.
Now a lot of people are on social media.
Right.
You know, but anyways, but you wrote the book, Her Story So Far, and that book is about grief. It's about a complicated life. I mean, it's fatigue, a lot of issues went on there.
Yeah. So Her Story So Far is my novel. And I started writing that book it kind of in the middle of when I was writing my memoir. Because I had to, you know, when you write a memoir, you have to go experience all that trauma. You have to go sit back inside that trauma as you tell your story. And so I really started Her Story So Far as this perfect family, this perfect life, the family that I wish that I had had, the life that I wish that I had had. But then obviously, you know, novels and stories, you got to have some conflict in there. So I sat with the story for a long time. And the other thing that was happening as I was writing the book was I was entering into midlife. And I started to see that there weren't any midlife protagonists. And the other thing is that as a Gen Xer raised by either a baby boomer, I was raised by parents in the silent generation. We were raised with all of these social constructs. You have to be this, you have to do this. Your value as a woman, it's only if you do this, if you stay in this lane, if you do that.
It's almost the same, right? For like all the cultures.
Yeah.
You grow up, you're a girl, you get married, you get a nice boy, you get a house, a couple of kids, a fence. And if you talk about education, well, what about dinner on the table for the man when he comes home?
Right.
In today's world, we can do both. We really can, because there's a lot of help out there right now. But there's no reason for us not to accomplish our goals.
Right. And we were also taught that to ask for help was a bad thing, right? We can't ask for help. We've got to be the be all
and
all. We can't show weakness. We have to, you know, and there was a certain definition of what a woman should
be. So writing this book was beautiful, but it was also brutal for you.
It was very brutal for me, but it was very beautiful for me because I had this big plan of how I wanted this character to be and go. And then I was like, no, I'm just going to let her tell me the story. And so I just sat with her and I sat with the characters and I allowed her to tell me the story, and she did. And so really it's a story of reinvention, of resilience. It's a story of a woman who thought her life was one way for 30 years with her husband. He died from cancer right at the very beginning of the book. I'm not giving any spoilers away, but that's what happened. And then, so that's really her inciting incident.
So,
and
like, this person reclaimed her voice.
He reclaimed not just her voice, but her life.
Right, right, right.
And she started to find that she was able to make decisions based on what she wanted, not what society expected of her.
Yeah, wow, it's powerful. You can also be a motivational speaker yourself, young lady, just like Dr. Sexton there. So what was the inspiration behind your story? I mean, you inspired like real raw emotions.
Well, the biggest inspiration was that as midlife women, we don't often get an opportunity to tell our stories. And so I felt like if I could take this one fictional character, this one fictional woman in midlife and really show other women that maybe you're not making all the same choices as Kelsey Jo, my protagonist, but she's going to show you that you can and that you're free to. So the inspiration was real. Like I said, the inspiration first was to just write this life of perfection, the life that I never had. But then as I started writing it, I started seeing the beauty in the flaws.
And you said that you noticed that growing up in a dysfunctional home, not only were you raised by an alcoholic father, but you also thought he was homophobic and racist, abusive. And you and your siblings, you guys had a really tough time. But, you know, that describes a lot of families.
Absolutely.
Right. There's a similarity there with a lot of cultures. And sometimes what we think was racist is what happened back then. It was a time and a place for that. And so we all evolve as human beings. And as we grow older, bolder, and wiser, we can see the difference.
Absolutely. And for me, that's kind of what college did for me in my 40s, right? It was that I was able to go and I was able to see kind of the world through a different lens. And it was really a beautiful thing. And well, my siblings were 20 years older than me. So my parents got married in 1948. And
so you all had different parents, actually.
It was very different. Right? It was very different parents. And so my siblings were raised in the 50s and 60s, and I was raised in the 70s and 80s, and I was a child of the 70s and 80s. I was every bit that teenager. So it was, you know, it was, and I was raised in a, you know, very Lutheran, I was a Lutheran household. I went to a Lutheran school. The first teaching job I ever had, I was teaching at Trinity Lutheran here in Rockledge. And so I was raised in that environment. And while it was a very safe and caring and loving environment, you know, there were also some things that happened that as I started to grow up, and it seems like I didn't really learn about these otherworldly things until I was in my late 30s and early 40s. And I started seeing how that environment shaped everything in my life.
Well, it's almost like, you know, you look at children today and, you know, we talk about having empathy for people and having compassion and teaching your children to love people. And like Dr. Sexton was telling us about having a disability or something, a lot of families don't take the time to teach.
And my family did not. I basically had to teach myself through experiencing the world. Whether it be through my entertainment, whether it be through meeting, you know, different people. Like I said, I was raised in a very racist, homophobic family. Well, then I worked at Busch Gardens, and some of my very best friends are gay.
Yeah.
And I started to see things that my father and mother told me were not right. And I was like, wait a minute.
Well, love is the force that moves the universe, right?
Right?
And you found that.
I found that, yeah. And I found empathy. I was never taught empathy. I was never taught the difference between sympathy and empathy, and that's why with the doctor over here, it was like I loved hearing him talk and speak because
there is a difference.
There's such a difference. Yes.
Jump in here, Doc, if you want to, and talk to us. Tell us the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Oh no, I agree with you because I mean, to live through it versus just, you can always say, we always know what to say, but how you say it, and if you haven't lived it, that's the difference, right? And if you don't live it, it's just pious platitudes. It falls, right? And so right. I love your testimony because real world scenarios of dealing with that abuse, dealing with that trauma, it's real.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, we're not trying to sweep it under the rug. We want to identify it, meet it head on. And a lot of these guys, you know, whether you be a physician or just a human being, can't identify, you know, they don't realize, one, that trauma or tragedy is your testimony. That test is your testimony. To not fear it, but to embrace it because it's going to make you a better person, but also to realize how important those tests really are.
Yeah, and some people come out of it stronger like you did,
right?
And some don't. They fold, right?
Absolutely.
And they pass it on to the other generation.
Absolutely. And you know, you have to be, I try to think of myself as a cycle breaker.
Right. And do you feel like writing the book cleansed your soul?
It did. Oh, it totally cleansed my soul. Totally. I mean, first when I wrote my first book, Finding 50, which was my story. It was my story. It was my memoir. And then I wrote this novel because I wanted to be able to give other people hope to say, listen, when you are free to make the choices that you want to make as long as you love yourself.
How long did it take you to write the book?
Well, this novel took me almost 4 years because I kept changing the story.
Yeah.
But could I ask a question? How long did it take you to love yourself?
I'm just learning how to do that now. Yeah, no, I would say, you know, when I started to write my memoir, which I started writing my memoir in 2017 and published it in 2022, that was when I learned more about myself, like writing these two books. And one is nonfiction and one is fiction. But I learned just more about myself and humanity as I was writing. But I really started to love myself as I was writing my memoir.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's almost like Eat, Pray, Love meets... And I know there's, is it Evelyn Hugo?
It's The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, you went through all these different stages. It's almost, you know, sometimes when you write a book like that, it's almost like the person like you used to know has passed away.
Yes.
And there's a new rebirth now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And a lot of my friends that have read the book, I'll get text messages from them. And Kelsey Jo is so different than me on so many levels, but she's a lot of the same person. So a lot of my friends will go, you are so, like, I totally see you in Kelsey Jo. I totally see you. I feel like I'm sitting and I feel like I'm learning a whole new side of you, Jill. And so it was a real, I love writing fiction.
Well, some of the things that's in this book, Kelsey discovers that her late husband had an affair with her best friend. Mm-hmm. That crap happens up to
that
today.
That is happening.
That happens.
That is happening.
We see, you know, I finally got on TikTok and there's this woman that's exposing her husband's affair and she's telling the whole world. So I wrote in the comment, couldn't you keep this private? I mean, but people are doing this stuff.
They are doing it, and I think, one of my ARC readers, which I really didn't expect, so an ARC reader is an advanced reader copy, an advanced reader copy team member, so you get your book out there, and it's an advanced reader team, and I really didn't think the younger generation would appreciate the book, but I'm finding that I have a lot of younger readers, but she sent me a text message as she was reading it, and I didn't know this girl beforehand. She just signed up to be on my team. And she said, I cannot believe, she said, this exact thing happened to my family.
It's a lot of juicy, gossipy, dramatic things because now you find out that they had a child.
Well,
not only they had an affair, they had a child.
But see, they had this one night stand.
Talk about a fertile womb.
Right. They had this one night stand in college.
One night stand. Yeah.
In college. Yeah. And she and the best friend, they were all best friends in college. And that's who introduced Kelsey Jo to her husband. And then Alex and Eve, they had this little, went to this little party. And anyway, she got pregnant. And back in the 80s, you didn't talk about being pregnant. If you weren't married, you know, she went and put the baby up for adoption. And
so after all that wreckage and all the stuff she goes through in life, then she falls in love with a woman.
Yes.
So your book not only talks about the dysfunctional family that you grew up, well, that's two different books anyways, but this book talks about queer love after the loss.
It does.
So this is really some imagination there and creativity.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, because you kind of, every social issue that people are facing in life today, it's in this book.
It is.
So tell our listeners the name of the book and where they can find it while we're going along.
Sure. It's Her Story So Far. And you can find it on Amazon under either Jill Carlisle. You can put that in the search bar or you can put in Her Story So Far. You can purchase it there on Amazon or you can go to my website at jillcarlisle.com and you can order a signed copy.
Right. And your book, your memoir is also there as well.
Yes.
And the name of that one?
Finding 50.
Okay. So now, when did you discover that you wanted to be a writer? Because here you were raising the children, and you really ran through a rough time at home, growing up in your family household. You got married, you had the children, and you went back to school. Man, you're so motivating for me today. I'm sure our listeners are loving this. And then on top of all of that, getting your bachelor's and master's, and you decided to write.
Well,
you had that aha moment.
I've always been a writer. My whole life, I've always loved to write stories. But it really just started to hit me, kind of, it really inspired me to write books when I was in my 40s.
What was a surprising thing you learned about yourself while writing the books?
That I can do anything I put my mind to.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. You need to put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. I'd buy it.
How did you handle writer's block? Did you ever have writer's block?
I did, and I do have writer's block. Excuse me. I typically will get up, walk away, and then maybe I will just sit and write about something completely off topic.
When you were writing the book, did you have any pushback from your family members? Because, you know, once you start writing a memoir and exposing certain things in the family, you're going to make a lot of enemies along the way as well.
Unfortunately, well, I didn't, because most everyone in my family has died. So, yeah, they're all gone, except for my sister.
That's tragic.
Yeah. So I felt it would have been a different story had they not been gone. It probably wouldn't have written it. But
so everything. And Sita had the same thing when she wrote 18 Brothers and Sisters. There was a lot of edits, right?
You know why I asked that? Because when I wrote my book, you remember my daughter was in law school.
Right.
And I had taken the book down from Amazon because I had some family members. We had pretty much the same thing with the racism and poverty and challenges and all that. 18 children, right? They didn't sleep. But the thing is, I had a couple of, you know, family members that didn't like the fact that I had exposed the domestic violence and all that. They wanted it swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, who was in law school at that time, she said, if you don't put it back on Amazon, I'll get your password and I'll do it. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, because she said it was a good book, and I'm grateful that it did well and it's still doing well. But so tell us, as you were writing the book, I'm sure your characters came alive. And who, your main character, who did you pattern your main character after?
I would say me. So I mean, in a lot of, not her love life, but her, just who she is as a woman.
And if you had a 30-second spiel to give to somebody out there who in a similar circumstance as yourself, what would you say to them? Because not only are you giving us hope and motivating us to do better in life, but there are women at home. And sadly, in today's world, we know that abuse is not just physical. It is emotional. It's financial. It's different forms of abuse. And there are people who are at home. We saw that during COVID, it was exacerbated. And we know there are people at home sitting that's wondering, why me? Why poor me?
I would say, number one, pray. Don't ever stop praying. Don't give up hope. Find someone that you can talk to and believe in yourself. Always, always believe in yourself. And I know that feels very cliche and may sound easier. It's easier said than done. But just don't ever lose
Yeah. Well, you know, my mom, of course, I'm Hindu, and my mom believed in talking to God. And many times we would find her outside just rattling off the name of the 18 children, or sometimes she'll just say the 11 that she gave, and she'll say everybody's name. And we used to say, God, she's, you know. But I have found as I get older, I do speak to myself sometimes. I just don't answer myself back. But I feel like I have an altar, and I go to the altar and I put my flowers and I talk to my deity, Lord Krishna. And I tell you what, I feel good when I'm done.
You do.
You know, even my little grandson, who is 4 years old, I said to him, oh, you know, I got in a car accident and I rear-ended someone. He goes, you should have prayed to Lord Krishna when you started driving, because now he understands. So I think you're right. Faith is wonderful, everyone. And I think Dr. Sexton touch on his faith also on our segment. Yeah,
but we're going to get cut off here in just a second. Thank you so
we
much,
will
both
need
of
faith
you.
To save us.
That's right, to share your stories, Dr. Travis Sexton and also Jill Carlisle. Thank you so much for sharing your stories today. We'll make sure all of it is available on our downloads. And please stay tuned each and every week on Mondays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.